broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
I'm so heartbroken now.
It's just a real tragedy.
Let me tell you what's going on over there right now. Make no bones about it.
That being gay is something that is perfectly fine. Doesn't
I believe that the taxpayers really should know.
You know how many people like guns and dip?
That's what the taxpayers ought to know. World famous Phil Hendry show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. A news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about, where truth is our bitch. And we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't, and they never will be able to. So there you go. Just suck on that. It's all right. You'll live. We're talking about the other talk shows, not you guys. House Majority Leader John Boehner has pressed President Obama for an explanation of the mission in Libya. It's not a bad idea. I know what I would do. I've said it on that most distinguished of platforms, Twitter. I said we have the nuclear submarines, we've got the missile systems, we have the offensive systems, we've spent a lot of money for them. We've spent enormous amounts of money in training our people to operate them. We'd like to see what they can do. I can think of no better place to try them out than the areas in and around where Colonel Gaddafi is and his Air Force and his military. In other words, Libya.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Of course. So anyway, we will talk about that this hour. The Gay Cure app gets yanked from Apple. Now, what's that about? I don't necessarily agree with a Gay Cure app, but I don't understand what happened there. Now, I know that there are a great many people would say there's no difference between a Gay Cure app and an app that tells black folks you can shrink your lips and narrow your nose and you can straighten your hair, or an app that says for you Asian folks you can make your eyes rounder, or an app, I was going to say an app for women, you can be a guy.
Yeah, that's right, man. You know, some of those apps, they actually work.
I understand that there are people who make that argument, and it's patently offensive, absolutely. But there was someone that accepted that business on behalf of Apple, so I'm curious to know what is Apple's true stand on this. They only pulled that when they got pressure from gay people and from individuals that found it offensive. That's the only time. Otherwise, they would have been perfectly fine with it. So where are you coming from, Apple? I got one of your iPhones, by the way. It's a fantastic product. Anyway, plus legendary actress Elizabeth Taylor has passed on. 877-876-PHIL. Along with me here is Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here for our news hours. How are you guys doing, Bud? How are you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. And able to find out about that the Skyfire and everything.
Oh, yeah, Skyfire. We found out from a listener today with Skyfire, which I believe is a browser.
Yeah, he was claiming that you can live stream the video cast on iPhone.
That is, if that's true, that's a major, major development. Actually, where is my iPhone? I don't have it with me. Otherwise, I would do that. So if that's true, then this is going to fast-track our asses. I'm almost sure this will fast-track our asses. And I'll tell you one other thing. The reason why that's possible is because we now are video casting the show by way of a TriCaster, which gives us a ton of options. So if you have a backstage pass, and you are watching the video cast of our show right now, we are more mobile than ever, it would appear. Of course, you can watch us on your Droid phone, your iPhone up to this point, because they don't allow Flash players, has been very, very difficult. But come to find out, it may very well be possible with this browser. And our goal is certainly to make our video at least available on demand. So stay tuned for that. World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, and our website, philhendryshow.com. Before we get to Elizabeth Taylor and so many other news stories, you guys don't know about this, do you?
Get to what you were telling about. I don't know anything about it. Well, okay, now that happened a long time ago, though.
Right, this happened a long time ago. You guys don't remember, and you guys listening, remember when I was talking to you about OSHA standards, OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration? You remember that?
Yeah.
You see, I'm not so conservative as to believe that there are not government agencies that are absolutely necessary. Otherwise, we've got ourselves all kinds of problems. One of them is the Occupational Safety and Health Administration. Now, let's not get into any discussion as to how OSHA may be improved or how it may have lost its way. But the fact of the matter is, occupational safety became very, very important after March 25th of 1911. And on that warm spring Saturday afternoon, 146 mostly young women died, and they died a horrible death, some of them in falls from fourth and fifth floor windows, some of them in the fire, some of them from suffocation. It was a horrible day for New York City. And it would have been a horrible day for the United States of America if we had the kind of media coverage we have today. Everybody in the country would have seen the video of this terrible event. It was a fire that started in a factory. It was the Triangle Shirtwaist Factory. A fire that was made all the more tragic because as those young ladies tried to escape the workroom that they were in, the doors had been chained shut by the employers because they didn't want these young women sneaking out and having cigarettes out on the fire escape. They didn't want the young women sneaking out and going back to their homes to get things. They wanted everybody inside. It's really, really hard for people to imagine this, but it's not anything. Were we all alive then, it isn't anything that you would want to pillory these people for. I'm sure that when this happened, they were devastated because nobody in those days, it just never occurred to anybody. Today, you know, to quote the great Justice Jackson, it's easy for us to stand on what we think is the pinnacle of human achievement, the present, and look back with arrogance and disdain on the long path of history behind us. Oh, well.
Yeah, we think we're pretty bitchin'.
We do. We're all like, oh, look at me. Look at where I am here in the present day. We're so advanced. And look at all of those slobs back there. Well, the fact is, we're where we are today because of all those people. If they hadn't learned what they learned, we wouldn't even be close to where we are. They're the ones that brought us to where we are today. And unfortunately, they had to go through some living hell, man. You know, Robert?
Well, I bet nobody had ever, probably people had died like that, but nobody ever cared, you know.
Well, that's another point. No one ever cared. But because a place called America was invented. See, there wasn't a place called America. There was never a place called America. There wasn't a place, this country. I mean, this was a dream. This was a fantasy that we would have a place called America where we would actually care for workers to the point where we would ensure some kind of occupational safety. There's no country in the world that did that. We were doing stuff over here. The rest of the world was looking down their nose at us saying, well, now, will you get a load of the hicks? What are they up to now in their coonskin caps and their fringe jackets and their cowboy boots? What are those slobs doing over? What is that? Occupational safety. But you see, what we did in this country and continue to do, and pray God that we always do this, we look at a problem and we say, how do we solve it? We look at a problem and Americans say, let's get to it, baby. Let's go. Come on. Huh? I'll never forget, I worked with when I was just out, you know, I'd left home, and I was working in an animal hospital of all places, okay?
Yeah.
And I was a kennel boy. Well, we had a nurse, a doctor's assistant in this animal hospital. She's a great lady, a young woman, a couple of years older than me. She was from Hungary. And she used to say to me, she says, God, you know, she'd say it like this, like Arianna Huffington, you know?
Yeah, it probably sounded like Arianna Huffington when she come over, too.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. But she said, I have never seen anything like Americans. Always work. I said, well, what do you do in Hungary? Oh, sitting around on our ass, eating a donut, all this crap. She said, you know, I mean, we get work done, but we're in Hungary. We, you know, take it easy. But over here, you people, good God. I said, yeah, you know, we never stop over here. But we're always looking for solutions. Well, after this terrible, terrible fire, 146 people, it became a touchstone for organized labor. It spurred laws that required fire drills and shed light on the lives of young immigrant workers near the turn of the century. Police officers who saw this transpire in New York City for years after were traumatized by this. There were cops in New York that said, I couldn't walk a beat on that block. I couldn't go by that building without it just sending me into a deep, deep depression. Rescue workers, the fire department, just onlookers that day. Because you have to understand, folks, there was and a makeshift morgue, which I think they used some adjoining building. There were 146 bodies, some of them burned beyond recognition, lined up. And the relatives, this was before there was any kind of effort to communicate in a sensitive way to the families, basically would say, there was a fire at the deal today. Well, what the hell happened? Well, you know,
they didn't tell nobody?
They did, but they just say, hey, we had a fire, and, you know, we've had some deaths. Well, was my daughter killed? I don't know. You're going to have to come down and check out the dead bodies.
Well, they didn't say it like that.
Well, pretty much.
Well, they didn't be sensitive.
What are they going to say, bud? Hey, we had a fire. We're very sorry to tell you. We had a fire. And can you tell me about my daughter? I can't. Unless, you know, you can come. It takes too much time. That's not the way they were back then. Back then, as we said, life was hard, man. It was much harder than it is now. And you don't, is my kid alive? I'm sorry, we can't tell you. Will I ever find out? No, you will never find out because we're moving on. You moved on. Six of those people were unidentified until just this past month. A very fine gentleman, I forget his name, this man actually did this research and came up with the names of those final six people that were unidentified. So you had to go down, you had to look at these bodies that are burned beyond recognition and find out whether one of them is your daughter, your child, your wife, whoever. So the 100th anniversary of that horrifying fire, the Triangle Shirtwaist Fire, is tomorrow, Friday the 25th, 100 years since the most horrific tragedy up to that point occurred. And there are these moments in American history, and that was one of them, Civil War. I mean, some are bigger than others, but this is one that got lost in the annals of history because it seemed like so many much bigger things happened. But it was a tragedy, it was a trauma, and it really scarred the country for a long time. Michael Hirsch identified the remaining victims. That's the name of the writer. And it did bring about great change in this country. Now, there was a documentary on PBS's Triangle Fire, which premiered on February the 28th, and HBO's Triangle Remembering Fire, which is going to be on Monday. Check out and see if that PBS one is still airing. We'll be back with Elizabeth Taylor.
But she's dead. Well, what?
Don't get smart, okay? Yes, I know she's dead. We're going to be back with the news.
What an idiot, man.
Back with Elizabeth Taylor and more here on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, plus transgendered New Yorkers want to be called women even if they still have their male thing, see? So, well, anyway, we'll talk about that. The world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. Welcome here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard with us here in our news hour. And we certainly thank Ted Bell from Ted's of Beverly Hills for joining us this evening, as well as Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, although Ted Bell has got himself a problem, man, with that condom underneath the sour cream on the baked potato from the baked potato tree. But we'll find out what happens. News spread rather fast this morning. It broke at about 6 o'clock, and there were some who said the first time they read it on the Phil Henry Show feed because we just happened to be awake at 6 o'clock.
What were you doing?
That's none of your business what I was doing.
Oh, what are you talking about, man? Well, what are you doing up at 6 o'clock?
That's none of your business. What are you usually up in the middle of the night? And that's the middle of the night for me. What are you usually doing?
Going to the club.
Shut up. Anyway, Elizabeth Taylor died. Now, I know that there's a whole generation of people who are sort of scratching their head and going, oh, wow, this is one of this, guess something that the old people are kind of into. Yeah, sort of. I mean, you can imagine that anything that today you follow with great fervency. For instance, there may be young men listening right now who are big fans of The Rock. Believe it or not, someday when you're 50 and The Rock finally croaks, you'll feel a little wistful and people will, you know, young people will say, who? What do you mean wrestling? What was that? Or you might get a little misty-eyed over Rebecca Black when she, I'm kidding.
That chicken did the Friday song? Nope, he's going to be mistful about that.
I didn't say mistful. I said wistful. In any event, one such person, and she was truly iconic. I don't think that this takes any real explaining. Elizabeth Taylor. Elizabeth Taylor wasn't just a beautiful woman, and in recent years, a lot of people knew her as an activist. Elizabeth Taylor was a great actress. I mean, beyond what we knew her for in the last, say, 20 or 30 years as an activist, and maybe that's sort of politically polarizing for a lot of people. The fact she worked, as an AIDS activist, I don't know. It's healing people.
Yeah, I know, but she was very active with like Michael Jackson, all that, you know.
Isn't it true that most of the guys what she fell in love with was gay?
No, that's not true. No. What do you mean fell in love with?
Well, she was in love with, Michael Jackson, the other guy that you said was gay.
What other guy?
That one guy you said.
I said she was friends with an actor named Montgomery Clift. You guys don't even know what you're talking about, okay?
Yeah, that guy.
She was friends with that guy. She fell in love with guys like Mike Todd, Richard Burton, Eddie Fisher. These are the men that she married. John Warner, the governor of Virginia. These are the guys that she married, see? She was a big friend and a big fan of gay men, a lot of gay men, that's right. She died early this morning, early yesterday morning, technically, of congestive heart failure, Elizabeth Taylor. When I think about the great movies that Elizabeth Taylor did, my favorite is Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, which you have to see to actually, you got to see to believe. It's a movie starring her and her then husband, Richard Burton. Here is Elizabeth Taylor, nominated for an Oscar for her role in Cat on a Hot Tin Roof in 1959. She played here Maggie. Here's a clip from the film co-starring Paul Newman.
If I thought you'd never, never make love to me again, I'd find me the longest, sharpest knife I could, and I'd stick it straight into my heart. I'd do that. Oh, Brick, how long does this have to go on, this punishment? Haven't I served my term? Can't I apply for a pardon?
Lady, that finishing school of yours sounds like you was running upstairs to tell somebody the house was on fire.
Is it any wonder? You know what I feel like? I feel all the time like a cat on a hot tin roof.
Then jump off the roof, Maggie, jump off it. Our cats jump off roofs and they land uninjured. Do it, jump.
Jump where? Into what?
Hey, Maggie.
You blew it!
Then we had, here is KTLA speaking with a couple of fans of Taylor's, getting the reaction to the star's death, just anybody off the street. It was just
I'm so heartbroken now.
It's just a real tragedy. I mean, she was a great person, a great humanitarian. You know, I mean, she did a lot for
people with AIDS.
Uh-huh. People with AIDS. I mean, she was a fundraiser. I'm a fan of hers also. You know, used to watch all the old movies, you know, dating myself. But it's just a loss, you know. It's just a tragedy.
Well, there you go. And it's a great loss. I don't know if it's a tragedy, you know.
I mean, everybody's going to die.
Everyone's going to die, yeah. So it's, but it seemed like she was 79. Yeah, it's, well, I don't know. Is that old? These days, it doesn't seem like it. People live a long time. So, you know, Elizabeth Taylor's gone at the age of 79. There's a small piece of news out of Miami having to do with Neil Rogers, and I don't want to get into it right now because I want it to develop a little bit, but it has to do with the disbursement of Neil's estate, and it was in the Sun Sentinel, South Florida paper. Neil Rogers is a great radio talent that I've spoken of many times on the show. And his estate right now is being contested. But when we get some more information, we'll give you that, because I don't want to get into some,
Why not?
Because I don't want to get into some speculation, bud. Why not? Don't ask me why not, okay? God, man. Just let some stuff go, all right?
Well, I mean, people want to know.
Well, look, if I say, you know what, tonight I don't think I'm going to do this bit, I think I'll do that bit. Don't go on the air and go, hey, why not? Leave it behind the scenes if you don't mind. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Movie chain operators fight a proposed federal nutrition disclosure rule on concession snacks, saying they're an unwarranted intrusion into their bed. Then, I agree with that, you know.
Why?
Well, because, don't you?
I don't know, man. I don't want to get fat or nothing.
Well, look, dude, if you're going to the concession stand for a movie, are you really hanging out and waiting to see? Are you really looking at nutrition crap on the side of the can or whatever the hell it is you're buying?
What do you mean can? Probably going to get the popcorn come in a can.
or whatever it comes in. Also, a California councilwoman takes heat from the liberal media for speaking out against Muslim radicals. PhilHenryShow.com, our podcast, Phil TV, archives, blog, access to me via email. I'll actually respond to it. It's the only place you can talk to me. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry. For patriots, by patriots, it's the Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we are here each and every night, Monday through Friday, until 1 o'clock on the West Coast. And, of course, 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And what are we doing? We are marching together into the future, hand in hand, making our way toward a more efficient, a stronger America, and a country, of course, that emphasizes, as it always has and always will, the strengths of the individual over the automation of government. Movie chain operators fight proposed federal nutrition disclosure laws on concession stacks, saying they're an unwarranted... Yeah, it sounds like they're really bitching about something, doesn't it? It sounds like you want to just smack them and say, go along with it. But I got to go with them on this, and I agree with them, because here's what's going on. We've lost touch with the reality of life. I'm not saying, folks, that we don't have our OSHAs, as I just mentioned. I'm not saying that we don't have our laws protecting children. I'm not saying that we don't have some reasonable laws to protect us from dying from air pollution, things like that. I certainly would like to know whether I take too much of a medicine. What am I supposed to do? What is that thing they make you do?
I always tell you, eat egg whites.
Yeah, because egg whites will make you throw up. No kidding. Make me throw up. But I'm wondering just how much of this garbage I got to know. Right now, there's an effort underway, a provision in the federal health care law stipulating that restaurant chains with at least 20 U.S. locations provide the caloric content of menu items. Last summer, the Food and Drug Administration indicated that it intended to apply the provision not only to restaurants, but also to grocery stores, concession stands, and those at movie theaters. Now, one of the things that drives people ape about the federal health care law is it's got all of this unnecessary jazz. You know, it's one thing to say you got to get health insurance. All right, I got to get health insurance. But this law is such a utopian dream in the middle of a less than utopian budget. You know what they used to say? You're looking for steak on a hamburger budget, or however they used to say it. Well, that's what we're doing, man. We're looking for steak on a hamburger budget, Jack. We ain't got money for this. We don't even have any money for this health care law. And now they want to, well, let's work in a couple of things here, work in a couple of things here. And by the way, let's have nutritional information at concession stands, grocery stores, meaning where they're feeding you stuff at grocery stores.
Yeah, you know, you go and get a sandwich or something like that at the grocery store. I forget what else. Oh, like a bakery or something?
Yeah, well, you go and get a bakery like a donut. Well, what do you mean a donut? Are you trying to tell me they're going to have me put nutritional information on a donut? I know the donut's going to make me fat. At what point do we say, all right, enough is enough, man? I understand you. If you have the luxury of going into a supermarket and you're shopping and you're walking along, I wonder what I got to get. Well, here's the nutritional information. It's very valuable. As a matter of fact, it's so valuable that it could help you save money. Look at this. This has more nutrients and things that are better for my family, and it's less money than the one over here. I think I'll get this. You know, at this advanced age of my life, where I, have to eat high fiber.
Oh, yeah, on account of...
You blow it!
Right. So I'm looking for high-fiber breads. I find some breads with a lot of fiber, man, and they don't cost no much.
Right. Don't cost no much.
Yeah. Anyway, you go to a movie theater, and you get yourself, what do you get? What do you get, bud?
Well, I get a popcorn. I'll probably get a Coca-Cola and maybe the Milk Dud, or either a Milk Dud or...
or Jujubes.
Are you kidding me, man?
All right, but he has a right to that. What do you get?
I don't know. I'll probably get like a Jelly Belly.
What do you mean Jelly Belly?
Same thing as Jujubee. I get a Jelly Belly. I got a popcorn sometime. Or I like to get a Big Hunk.
Big Hunk? That's gay.
What? Gay?
But, all right, so he gets a Big Hunk.
What do you get?
I get popcorn. That's it for me, man. That's it for me, you know. Sometimes if I'm really in the mood, I'll get a box of one of those Skittles or something like that.
Yeah.
But that's it. I get popcorn. Now, I know full well, man, that Skittles and all that jazz is not good for me. I understand the nutritional content, and they have, and they will continue to have the nutritional content of Skittles and anything you buy in a box. But what they want to do now is put the nutritional content of popcorn. Why? Why?
For the same reason they got it in a supermarket.
Look, man. If I want to eat crap, a terrible thing happened in the state of California in the early 1990s. It was the helmet law. The helmet laws became the poster child law for the legislative move and by state and federally to pass over from someone performing some kind of injurious act that would hurt other people to someone performing an injurious act that would primarily hurt themselves. And that was the helmet law, the motorcycle helmet law. The motorcycle helmet law became law in our state because they lied through their teeth about the numbers of injuries from motorcyclists not wearing helmets that were appearing in hospital emergency rooms. They lied, flat out lied. They were saying that it was costing the taxpayers of California this enormous amount of money, this bunch of anuses who wanted to simply control the behavior of other people, had nothing whatsoever to do with the taxpayers. But that's what they got to come up with, don't you understand? They got to lie. They have to tell you. They can't just say, we want to control people. Why is that? Because we don't dig seeing people going down the road without helmets. Why is that? Because it just... Because it's bugs you, huh? Yeah. Well, you'll never get a law passed based on something that just bugs you because you're too much. First of all, you're a slob. Nobody wants to like you, and nobody's going to pass a law that you like. Yeah, I know. I guess you'll have to lie about something, huh? Yeah, I know. We'll say that those people getting into accidents on motorcycles without their helmets, they're going into emergency rooms, and they don't have insurance. Aha! And they're costing us a lot of money. Aha! And they lied. God, do they lie. And that's how they got the helmet law passed, and suddenly... an action which really doesn't hurt anybody other than the dumbass on the motorcycle not wearing the helmet. Oh, now all of a sudden it's everybody's business. Everybody's business. So now when you're fat, it's everybody's business. Now when you smoke, it's everybody's business. You name me one activity where it isn't everybody's business. Somebody out there in America thinks that's really cool. I'm not one of them. I don't know about you. If you're ugly, that's everybody's business.
Ugly?
Yeah, like you, bud. You're causing me psychological damage.
Yeah, you better go get your face fixed, man.
Yeah, after you.
Well, you know what I'm talking about, don't you, man?
What about you? You're ugly.
I know I'm ugly. But the fact is, I ain't going to go out and get any plastic surgery because it's bugging anybody. Some cat, you think I'm crazy? You think I'm making this crap up, folks? We've done this stuff for years on this show. And one of the things we love to say is that satire is the great predictor of the future. And it is. Satire is the great predictor of the future. There isn't anything that has happened in our world that hasn't been predicted at one time or another on our show with a satirical bit that at the time we thought was overreaching reality. We thought, oh, this is ridiculous. It could never happen. Guess what? We did a bit with Steve Bozell once, where he sued some public pool because he got a dive stick stuck up as you know what. It was a joke. It was a satirical bit. We were laughing about it. Hey, guess what happened a couple of years later? Dive sticks were outlawed in the state of California because the same thing happened to somebody. So I would say to you, hey, let's do a bit tonight, and it'll be a guy who is so ugly he's caused psychological damage to the people around him, and they have sued him and forced him to get plastic surgery. And we all go, ha, 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 isn't that absurd, and it could never happen. Guess what? You want to make a, anybody want to take a bet on that? I'll make a bet. I'll make a bet right now. I swear to God, it's going to get worse before it gets better, before we finally slap ourselves back into shape and say, what the hell are we doing? This is asinine. You're going to sue everybody because they look funny at you. You're going to sue somebody because the guy is not, his nose is too big. Sue someone because their ears are too big. Sue somebody because they smell bad. You can't eat peanuts. You can't have on perfume. You can't smoke a cigarette. We have people who feel entitled now to walk in front of people with cigarettes and wave their hands and comment to that individual in an insulting way. You know, you comment enough times that way to somebody smoking a cigarette, they're liable to knock your freaking head off, man. And I don't smoke anymore, but I join them. We live in a society that is increasingly populated and controlled by a-holes. And I wish that I could give you the complete word, even though it's probably not against any FCC rule, not that the FCC has any rules, but somebody's liable. Would you dump that if I didn't tell you to? You would have dumped it? Really? Okay. A-hole's okay, but the other one? You know, the funny thing about that other one is that the other guys are saying it, but okay. Anyway. So this is what our country has been taken over, not so much by the touchy-feelies that think they're doing us all a favor. You know, I'm really offended by the way you said the word, Mexican. I'm really offended. That's a potent word in the repertoire of some people. They think if they lay that one on you, man, they have just hit you. They have hit you with the Gatling gun, man. Oh, I'm offended. So now we got to have the nutritional stuff on popcorn. We got to have the nutritional stuff. You know, if you stop off and get yourself saltwater taffy on a boardwalk on a beautiful sunny day in our beautiful country of America, as we're enjoying the beach and the waves and the ocean, you're stopping off to get saltwater taffy. Whoa, better have that nutritional information on there. We can't enjoy a traditional day of saltwater taffy on the boardwalk, man, without that nutritional information on the Balboa bar. Now, can we?
Balboa bars rock the world, man.
I love those.
Yeah, you like them, huh? I like Balboa bars, too. Guess what? They're going to have to stick the nutritional information on them now.
What are you talking about?
Ain't you been listening to me, man?
Yeah.
The Balboa bars that you like, I love them. Balboa bar is something we get here in California, right down there in Balboa. And it's chocolate. It's a chocolate bar with vanilla ice cream covered with the chocolate, thing.
Yeah, and then it's got the sprinkles.
Then it's got those chocolate sprinkles. Oh, baby. Freaking great, man.
I'm going to get me a couple right now.
Yeah, well, pick me up one. But we can't get any Balboa bars anymore without the nutritional information on the side, because that's what the FDA wants, because that's what the healthcare law wants, because they don't understand how they're sucking the guts right out of who we are and what we are. They're sucking the life right out of it. You want to make a law for everything, you can't do it. You want to ensure everything, you can't do it. You can't make life safe 100%. It is not a proposition that is a safe proposition. Life is not a safe proposition. Life is, it's as the man said, a mystery to be explored. I mean, we can organize ourselves into societies and clans and tribes, and we can push ourselves forward down the corridor of history and enjoy what we see and suffer some of the things and really kind of pick up on a lot of stuff and just enjoy the ride. But what are we trying to do? Sterilize it? You're going to be dead someday. Dead. You'll be dead, and you'll ask yourself, what the hell did I just do? I passed every law there is, so now I can't even have a damn Balboa bar or saltwater taffy. Can't have any popcorn. Can't do that. Can't take a ride down the freyway on my motorcycle without my helmet because, can't do that. Can't smoke a cigarette. Nothing. Can't. You know what's going to happen? Well, you know what's going to happen. There's going to be a big-time backlash, and it won't be too long. People are just going to say, you can take that and stick it, because I ain't going there anymore, man. I'm going to light my freaking cigar up right in the middle of your living room. Now, I wouldn't do that, but... All right, we're coming back here on the Phil Hendry Show. Why would I want to light that in the middle of someone else's living room?
Well, hell, you used to do it in your house.
I'd light it in my living room, yeah. A California councilwoman, Deborah Pauly, threatened over remarks at a Tea Party protest where she said the Marines ought to kill some terrorists. I guess she was talking about Americans. It let the Marines speak for themselves, okay, stupid. And thanks to the culture of political correctness, the transgender community is upset in New York City. We'll tell you why that is taking place. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. Radio for Patriots by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here, radio for Patriots by Patriots. California Councilwoman Deborah Pauley threatened over remarks at a Tea Party protest. And I know in my tease I said, well, this woman, you know, she made some racist comments. No, she didn't make any racist comments at all. She didn't make any offensive comments at all. The Los Angeles Times, however, would like you to believe that she did. But this is not a rant here opposing the LA Times. It's a paper of record. It's a good newspaper, but it has an editorial slant. And we've often said to you guys that that makes its way into reporting. I didn't make it up. I'm not inventing that. That's a fact. The LA Times would have you believe that Deborah Pauley is some anti-Muslim racist bitch who is threatening them with death by way of the United States Marine Corps, and so on, so forth, and like that, their schmear. But the reality was that Deborah Pauley had made comments last month outside the Yorba Linda Community Center during a Muslim charity event. She and other protesters were upset with the event's keynote speakers, Imam Siraj Wahaj and Amir Abdel Malik Ali. Wahaj is an imam from a mosque in Brooklyn. A U.S. attorney named him and 169 others as, guess what, co-conspirators in the 1993 World Trade Center bombing. Malik Ali is a Bay Area Islamic activist who spoke at Israeli Apartheid Week at UC Irvine. There he said he supports Hezbollah, which is a terrorist group, a murderous group. But those candy-ass students at UC Irvine, candy-ass suburban whites, bringing in the Hezbollah mouthpiece. So she was protesting this. God almighty, man. Every time we have any kind of controversial speaker in this country, for one reason or another, there are people protesting. So what? Does that make her anti-Muslim? I do blame, to a point, some conservatives for this, because there are some conservatives who talk about Islam as a gutter religion, so on and so forth, and all you do is you get the ball rolling for these other jackasses and say, well, she's just anti-Muslim. So anybody that speaks out against a Muslim, anti-Muslim. And so you make it difficult for people to separate out the terrorists from the law-abiding American Muslims when you say it's a gutter religion. It's an ignorant, stupid thing to say. It's bigoted beyond all belief. There's no foundation in reality for it. Shut up! Because the rest of us are trying to make it clear to the populace at large that there are terrorists and that there are terrorist Muslims and that some of them are speaking at events and that some of us might want to protest them speaking at events, and we want to do that without being called anti-Muslim. And we've got some so-called conservatives calling Islam the gutter religion and this and that and something else. Grow up! She went on to say that she knows a few Marines, blah, blah, blah. You know, there's no doubt. I mean, if you want a problem taken care of, there's no better resource than the United States Marine Corps. There's no better resource than the U.S. Marine Corps. I'll give her that. However, she wasn't talking about just Muslims. She was talking about two pieces of crap, one of them talking out in favor of Hezbollah. You know, one of the great things, among the many things that's happening in the Middle East right now, and it's one of the reasons why, for instance, fat ass Michael Moore is tweeting up a storm. This cat can't go a day without tweeting 9 million messages justifying his position, justifying his existence, and basically justifying the progressive and liberal position on the Middle East, because they've been suddenly caught with their pants down around their ankles. They don't know whether they ought to support Libya or not. I mean, they did support Egypt. I mean, they thought Tunisia was cool, but then they didn't support the Green Revolution. They didn't support Iraq. Well, oh, gee, why? They're pretty confusing, isn't there, fat ass? You're all in a heap, ain't you, man? But one of the great things is that we now see the reality in the Middle East, and the reality is the following thing. They're not worried about Israel. They're worried about the dirtbags that are running their countries into the ground. They're worried about the thieves like Gaddafi and the thieves like Mubarak, yeah, and the thieves, and now Syria. And what did I tell you last night? The Syrians, those guys are one step, they're a notch removed from fascist Nazis. They'll murder their people. They don't care. They don't care what the world thinks. They'll gun them down. They'll cut them down in the streets by the hundreds. You watch. The Syrians are an example of the threatened elite in the Middle East, the fascist elite. Now, you tell me, fat ass, what side of that divide are you on? And don't give me this bull crap about, you have to admit that if we go to war for Iraq, then we have to go to war for, hey, man, if it was up to me, we'd go to war all right. And we don't need to put any soldiers down on the ground there. We got something called an ICBM nuclear warhead. Yeah!
Uh-oh.
World-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rantz. Our technical director is Rick Johnson. I'm kidding about nuclear weapons, but let's quit fooling around. We got the juice. Man, we got the muscle. Dan Northcraft is our associate producer. PhilHendryShow.com, and until tonight, this is Phil Hendry saying, well, never mind.
Phil Hendry.